Blog Talk Radio.
This is Bo Diddley, and don't get upset, girls, but I want you to listen to this man talk every Friday. Every night. What am I talking about? Every Friday night. I'm talking about every night. So don't you be showing her up and come on and see what we got to say that we don't like that you're doing to us.
That's our
my man, Bo.
So you believe that's Bo?
Tonight, hope you're enjoying this Saturday evening wherever you may be. It's the 9th of August, to be exact, 2014. And we have a special guest on in a little bit. Actually, we got the Button South reunion coming up at the end of next month. For you uninitiated people out there, we've got a big gathering coming up. It's an old club that was well attended. A lot of bands came through, and we're going to have some of those bands on with us in the next few weeks in preparation for the big hoop-de-doo down at the at Revolution, which is on Broward, just west of US 1, I guess. And that should be a good time. A new venue and Button South Reunion 4, I believe it is, this time around. And should be having Mr. A DJ call in, as well as Joel Da Silva, a fantastic guitarist that I've been following for many years down here. I remember this guy when he was in a band called Regulators, and they were a great band who used to play over at this place called the Poor House in Fort Lauderdale. Still exists. And, yes, I had many good times watching that band play. And then he was off. And then he formed the Hepcat Food Eddies. By the way, I should mention, Hepcat Food Eddies is going to be a reunion of the Hepcat Boo Daddies down at the Button South. This is going to be on that Friday, I believe it's 26th, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, the 26th of September. Anyway, a reunion there, and we'll get some information from Joel on that. And now he's with the Midnight Howl. Joel DeSilva and the Midnight Howl performing all over the place. A huge, busy itinerary this guy's got. As a matter of fact, he's got a gig tonight, but hopefully he'll give us a call before he goes on. So we're looking forward to that, and your calls as well here at 718-508-9816. It's in the Man Talk this evening, and, you know, we really can cover most anything. Next weekend, I'm off to a show, the Rock and Blues Fest, at the downtown Broward at the O'Renee Theater, and what started out as just a bunch of great music has now turned into a tribute for Johnny Winter. Johnny, of course, if you haven't heard, passed away this past month in July, 70 years old. He was on tour in Europe and passed away in his hotel room, but the tour will go on. Thanks to, I'm sure Edgar Winter had something to do with this, and we've interviewed him a couple of times in the past. And it's going to be a kind of a tribute to Johnny now with everybody participating. We're going to hear some Johnny Winter material in there. And so I'm definitely looking forward to that show. That features Edgar and Vanilla Fudge will be performing. Peter Rivera, who used to be the drummer and vocalist in a band called Rare Earth, he's going to be there, not to mention the main man from Savoy Brown, that would be Kim Simmons. He'll be performing as well. So it's a great bill. Looking forward to that show next Friday, and we'll have a review, I guess, next Saturday, you know, with any luck. If I survive the Rock and Blues Fest, that is. Let's see. We've got yes, what else did we have today? We don't have Mr. Movie Guy. Some people are asking, where is he? Mr. Movie Guy? He's had a very hard week. And he says, unless you want to hear me snore, I said, yeah, take the night off. What do I care, Mr. Movie Guy? People will be clamoring for your movie reviews, but no, we'll just have to wait till next week, Mr. Movie Guy. And so he's off this evening. I'm sure we'll be hearing from part of New York. Who knows where else, you know? Anything is possible around this place. Let's see. Yeah, I even cut out a movie thing for Mr. Movie Guy. Oh, well. Can't use that. I just have to kill on, I guess. Dude. Cut out here. Just looking through my notes, folks. Don't mind me. Oh, In the Storm, Sharknado. Anybody watch Sharknado? That was last week's information. But anyways, down here, it's still hot. It's, you know, it's so damn hot down here that the surf temperature is 88 degrees, okay? That's what it's like if you take a swim in the ocean in South Florida these days. So, you don't want cold water, come on down here. We got it. It's 88 degrees. And I don't think there's any relief in sight for the next couple of months. But at least we aren't Hawaii. You know who we got on the phone with us, though, right now? We've got none other than our friend, our comrade in arms, a man who has not been on the show in quite some time. I'm sure he's got a lot to talk about. Would you please welcome in my friend and yours, DJ?
What's up, Brent? How you doing this evening?
Not too bad. How about yourself?
I'm doing pretty good, pretty good. I just tuned in. Is Mr. Movie Guy there, too? I didn't get a chance to hear him yet.
Oh, you won't be able to talk to Mr. Movie Guy this evening. Mr. Movie Guy, okay, is tired. He's tired. He's beat. He says, unless you want to hear me snore, I won't be showing. I guess he put in a 55-hour week at work, you know, whatever. It's been hot. We know that. So, I don't know. We can all bust his balls, I guess, once he comes back, if you want.
We can definitely do that. Well, I guess it's a perfect night for me to show up then and help you co-host.
Yeah, it is perfect as far as that goes. What have you? I have not heard from you in, well, we heard from you a bit, you know, a little while back, but haven't really been able to talk with you in a while, and was wondering what your latest endeavors may be.
I've just been super busy and making the transition from doing all the property management stuff to really making movies these days, and just finished doing a movie in a real haunted location, which was quite interesting, and that's a whole story amongst itself. The whole paranormal people actually came while we were shooting the movie to do an investigative report on whether or not there was something haunted in the hotel. And if you guys out there, our international listeners, want to Google Gulfstream Hotel in Lake Worth, then you can actually look up Gulfstream Haunted Lake Worth. And it's not just me. It's supposedly this hotel has been haunted for years and years and years. It was built back in 1925.
Wow. Whereabouts is it located?
In Lake Worth, right off of Lake Avenue in Lake
Worth. That's where I was in. Okay, downtown area or something?
Yes. It's right there, actually, on the Intercoastal. It's located at One Lake Avenue, so it's right there at the end, right before you go over the drawbridge.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Somewhat familiar with the area. Yeah.
I will
tell
you, I see dead people.
Yeah, we all see them from time to time, I'll tell you that.
Well, we really saw this ghost up there. Her name was Maggie, and she was actually a 6-year-old little girl that had fallen down the elevator shaft. And I'm not talking one or two stories. I probably got a dozen stories from people of just weird occurrences that just were unexplainable while we were up there.
Yeah. Okay.
It was really crazy. So we shot this horror movie up there for 9 days. It was really good. And hopefully it's in the editing room now and working on being edited, and we'll see what happens with it. It's called Evil Dark.
Evil Dark, and it might be released this year, or?
Hopefully it's shooting for a Halloween release.
Halloween, okay. And it's Evil?
Evil Dark.
Dark, okay,
yep.
Cool.
Very
good.
It was pretty cool working on it, because one of the things that I did get to do was work with pretty much in the acting world, there's A-list actors, B and C-list actors, and I got to work with this B-list actor named Anthony Carone, who has been on set all the way back to, he was telling me how he had made a movie with Brooke Shields.
Oh, wow. Very
cool. So he's been around for a long time. He's been on set with all sorts of really famous people and been around for a while. He's a pretty well-known actor. I'm trying to remember some of the other movies that he's done. If you give me a second, I'll remember and tell you.
Yeah,
but,
hold on a second. I believe we have, let me put this in real fast. Commander Tori, is that you out there? Hello, is this the Commander Tori?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I hear you.
Listen. I'm coming from deep within the bowels of the Apalachicola National Forest, and there's a shit going on up here. You talk about a dead people in a Fort Worth, there's going to be dead people up here. Very
what?
Soon.
Why is that, Commander Story?
We got the caves going on up here. We got the gigantic palmetto bugs with the giant spines on the back like a Stegosaurus. And we got movie people up here making Sharknado, Gatornado movies. They're taking over the place. I got to get some bug spray just to keep them away.
Oh, my gosh, that Sharknado. Brent, I talked to you on the phone the other day, and you told me you were watching Sharknado. And I couldn't believe the hype about that all myself. And then just, I guess, since you know how it's weird how things work, and it's like, oh, you haven't ever heard of anything, and then all of a sudden you'll hear about it right away. You told me about that. I sat down the next day to watch TV, and sure enough, I look on the Sci-Fi channel, and I see Sharknado with Ian Ziering and whoever else was in it.
Right.
I turned it and watched it for, I don't know, maybe 10 minutes, 12 minutes. And I was like, are you kidding me, people? Really? How much money did somebody put into this movie? It had to have been a couple $1 million.
I don't know, but from what Mr. Movie Guy told me, those movies are produced specifically for the Sci-Fi Channel. It's a company that does those movies, and they've had, you know, from his calls, there's, you know, probably a dozen out. Not Sharknado, but something with a, like a big shark or something like that. There's two Sharknado movies that I know of.
The only way I can think logically about these movies is, back in the day, all those stop animation and the kind of Godzilla-type movies that they did where Godzilla was all crazy-looking, a lot of those were very big and very popular. So I guess this is our generation's of Godzilla, is the best way to put it.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, you can, you know, it's cheap thrills, and you really don't have to come in. You don't have to worry about missing any part of Sharknado. You can come in any time, and you really haven't missed any.
Yeah, what I'm looking for is Sharknado.
Sharknado,
absolutely crazy. Yeah, one of the other popular movies that Anthony Carone was in that everybody knows was Bad Boys. He was one of the cops in Bad Boys, the lead sergeant.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Yeah, you'd know who he is if you saw him. It's one of the most B-list actors are like that. Their names you don't always necessarily recommend or remember, but when you see him, it's like, oh, that's that guy.
Right.
Right. So what else have you been up to, Brent?
Well, you know, work all week, some outdoor stuff at work, which was, you know, it's pretty damn hot, but I'm still here. Other than that, nah, I didn't watch too much on TV, nothing, you know, exciting anyways that I can think of that, you know, matter as far as, wow, is that you?
Now,
is that mandatory
to see
here?
What's mandatory doing?
No,
fighting off.
It's
a fighting off a Roachnado. We have a Roachnado up here.
Roachnado.
The palmetto bugs. They're big as a yardstick, you know. And they got these spines on their back and these forked tongues. And they come up and they try to lick your leg. And then all you can do is put out pesticide. And then
you
pour out the water.
Did you just say cockroaches trying to lick your leg?
Hey.
You ever had a
three-foot roach licking your leg? You're going to haul an ass faster than anybody. You think Usain Bolt is fast? You ought to see your ass when a three-foot palmetto bug licks your leg. You can run, maybe. You can run.
The palmetto bugs are the ones that look like cockroaches, but they fly, if I remember correctly.
Oh, yeah, they fly, too. You got to swat those
fly.
Son of a bitches. You need a damn bat and a good eye.
A fly swatter just won't do the trick.
No. You need one of those electric fly swatters.
Yeah, cattle prod works good.
Jesus Christ, you need an electric fly squatter the size of a football field goal. These son of a bitches are big. Jesus, hold on.
Wow.
Okay, got one.
All right.
So, Brent, when I was talking to you the other day, you are very familiar with the guest I believe we have coming up.
Yeah, it was shortly. We tried to mail you, Commander Torrey. We're going to have a guest coming up in about 4 or 5 minutes. One that is going to be playing at the Button South reunion coming up September 26th and 27th at Revolution in Fort Lauderdale. And that would be guitarist extraordinaire Joel Da Silva, who has graced this area for some 20 years and have gotten to see him.
Play it, baby.
Yeah. We're looking forward to him. So, you know, in about whenever he starts to call in, I'll put you on hold for a little bit and we can hang and, you know, you can battle off some mosquitoes or cockroaches or whatever it is to make life bearable up in these forests.
He can let some more palmetto bugs lick his leg.
You talk about a palmetto bugs like they're a little pet. We got a palmetto bugs like they are a T-Rex up here. I will try to hang on, but if I'm a gone, you know, it's because I got a pitchfork and a 45 in my hand, and I get back to you.
A pitchfork and a 45, I like that.
He's trying to hold him off.
You have
a pitchfork and a 45, or they carried you away. It's one of the two?
Because of my chainsaw is electric. I cannot go beyond the cord, you know. If it was a gasoline, I could cut the motherfuckers. But I got to do what I got to do by hand. It's so bad up here. Nobody's wearing a white anymore. Nobody's wearing gold. Everybody's wearing camo.
All right. Commander Torrey, take care. We've got a guest calling in, so battle off those cockroaches, mosquitoes, whatever it is that you do up there. And thank you for calling in. All right, we'll be around till 9 o'clock. Right now, you know, Jason, you've got a lot of static coming off your phone when you're not talking for some reason.
I'm in the car with a headset on. I can mute it a little bit here and there.
That would be great. All right. But right now, folks, very special moment for us here at Man Talk. We've got a guy who's going to be performing at the Button South reunion on Friday, September 26th. And this guy is busy. I mean, he's performing tonight. That's really bad, Jason. I'm going to have to put you on hold or something. Call back. That's horrible.
You want me to call back?
Wait a minute. I don't know what the
from me. Are you sure that's all coming from me, Bray? I'm pretty quiet where I'm at. I was on mute, actually. I muted myself.
Okay, that's better. It's getting better. Anyways, without any further ado, would you please welcome to Man Talk Joel Da Silva. Joel, are you out
Hello.
There?
Hello.
Hey,
how
you doing, man?
Good.
Hey,
glad to be on the show. How's it going,
Welcome
brother?
To Man Talk.
Thanks for having me.
Well, we had the Commander Torrey on there for a second, but we were talking music-wise, that, you know, I've been a huge fan of yours since back in the time when you were in a band called The Regulators.
No way!
Oh, yeah, man. That was back, you know, I used to go down to the Poorhouse quite a bit because I lived in Victoria Park. And so that was, you know, and you guys always played down there. So what are we talking? What was that? 90 what back in those days?
Probably 98, 99, back in the glory days.
Okay.
Maybe even 96, 97.
Wow. Amazing.
Yeah.
Huh? So,
yeah.
And this isn't just a, you know, Joel getting back for just the Button South reunion. This guy's got music going on all the time. I saw your schedule, my friend, and you are booked. I mean,
yes, sir.
You are...
that's the only way to do it. You know, when you're a full-time musician, is you got to stay busy. You know,
absolutely.
Spread the gospel through the land.
So you're definitely a full-time musician, and you don't do anything else as your career, right? You're a full-time musician.
Well, I quit my day job back in May. I worked at a Honda dealership in shipping and receiving, and I just said, screw it. If I'm going to try to do this full-time, I got to do it now. So that's what I did, and So far, so good. Knock on wood. I haven't missed a bill payment, you know?
That's awesome.
Good move. A good move, I say, on your part. I could always go back working a day job, you know? Yeah.
I didn't mean to interrupt you. I'm sorry.
No, it just amazes me that, you know, like you, the talent that you've had, that for some reason or another, we still have you here in South Florida, which is to our benefit, but I'm sure you would like to gain that next step up as far as recognition goes, right?
Yeah, I recently went on a three-week tour in July. We drove from Florida all the way to play a blues festival in Canada and back, and that was my first tour along the coast there, and it was really good. It was really good, you know. Spread the gospel. And can't complain, you know.
You know, I got to see a little bit of your with the Midnight Howl, who Joel is currently with. It's Joel De Silva and the Midnight Howl is all. And as far as your website goes, what, joeldesilva.com?
It's actually jdandthehowl.com.
Okay. jdandthehowl.com.
Yeah, and the Facebook is the same thing.
Very good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was impressed. I looked at your itinerary and I go, holy shit, this guy is all over the place.
Yeah, you guys are actually playing tonight, is that correct?
That's correct. We're playing at a brand new venue in Del Rey called the Vintage Tap, 524 West Atlantic Avenue. We start at 9 p.m. and it's going to be a howling good time for anybody who's in the area.
Very good.
And what type, for anybody that is in the area, what type of music would you classify yourself as, and what type of genre?
Johnny Cash meets Stevie Ray at a biker bar.
There you go. Yeah, I hate when people try to pin you down, you know? It's like, what is band talk? I said it's a radio show. It's just a catchy name, you know?
You guys are doing it. You guys are doing well, man. You guys have been on the air how long now?
Well, I've been doing radio since 90s. I mean, I was in radio originally in 84 at WFPL doing part-time weekends, you know? And it started, for me, radio started with a big band format. I was playing stuff like Benny Goodman and Artie Shaw and popular Frank Sinatra, Tony Bennett, you know, the contemporary file at that radio station had stuff like The Fifth Dimension. That was their contemporary file.
Right.
But it was a great station. I love the big band stuff. Plus, it was a personality-driven station. Every two songs came out and you did something. So it was a great way to get into radio. And then, of course, as time rolled on, which was about 5 years later, they switched to a talk radio format.
Right.
And so, you know, that just kind of, you know, the big band thing was, you know, only catering to the older folks, and they saw, you know, a switch format. Talk radio was kind of popular, and that's the way they went. So that's where I ended up, you know.
And nice.
Yeah, I think this is the third year Man Talk is helping to promote the Button South reunion, actually.
That's great. It's going to be a good night, man. That's going to be a good night.
It's going to be
amazing. So many bands are going to be playing, and it's on a nice big stage this time at Revolution, and good vibes are going to be all around. And I was lucky enough to have Randy Blitz, the original drummer, do our set with us, and it's going to be a tribute to my fallen friend, Sean Gerst.
Yeah, you know,
you're actually doing a kind of, not reunion, but you're going to do a little bit of a tribute to your one band member, I believe, that passed away.
Correct. That's correct. Yeah. He passed away in August, and it hurt a lot of people, and I'm just trying to keep his spirit alive every day when I'm playing on that stage. Matter of fact, one of the guitars that I play all the time, Dave used to work in a fire and flood restoration place, and he found us a 60s Strat, and he just gave it to me one day, and I call it the evil one, and I played him. And he was just a really, really good guy. He meant really well, and he's my friend and will always be, and I will always miss him.
Wow. Yeah, South Florida's lost some good musicians in this last year, because we also lost, I'm sure you're familiar with Corey Dwyer.
Yes.
From
yes.
Crazy Fingers. I was very close, actually, to Corey.
Such a sad story.
That was a crazy story with what happened. Actually very close with, or was very close with him in it. It's, I'm still taken aback by it, so.
I'm sorry,
sure,
brother.
I'm sure it's taken you with Sean a while, and even if you are even over it yet, and it's heartfelt.
No,
so
it's something that I'll never be over, you know?
Right.
You know, something that I'll never be over, and he left a big mark on me. Sorry, I get emotional when I talk about it. I'm sorry. He just left a big mark on me, and he really taught me a lot about music and about how to play on stage.
Good. Well, we'll have to remember him and honor him in the best way possible, and we're going to do that at the Button South reunion, and we'll just keep remembering it and all the happy times.
Sweet. Yes, sir. It's going to be a good night of rock and roll, man. Rock and roll is coming back, and it starts September 26th and 27th.
definitely looking forward to this one. This ought to be a special night. And what's the timing on your set? Do you know yet?
I believe we start at 9:30. I believe so. 9:30 or 10 o'clock, and we play about, I think every band plays 20 minutes. There's a memorial tribute video right before we go on. It has some of Sean in there, and then a couple other bands and everything. And
I believe Russ from Canaveral is playing
Russ.
Either I heard.
Yes.
Right. So Russ is a wonderful guy. We've had Russ on the show before, actually.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, we get a lot of, you're the first for our roundup this year, and I'm honored to have you here, Joel. It's been never had you on the show before, and it's quite an honor to have you on right now. Hey, you know, I was wondering, what are you listening to these days? What could we get some inspiration from as far as music? Are you disillusioned at the new crop of music, or are you listening to old?
As a matter of fact, I'm always learning, and I'm like a sponge trying to get any music. There's a new band, I don't know how new they are, but they're new to me, called The Wind and the Wave. They're a duo from Austin. I believe Austin is really good. You know, I'll always listen to my heroes like that. I love what the Black Keys are doing. I love the way Jack White's direction is going into. He has a sound all of his own, and he's exploring that.
I have not heard Lazaretto yet. Have you got?
I haven't either, but I did see him on TV. It was great.
Okay.
Yeah. He's kind of kind of a whiny little guy, though.
yeah, he can be kind of whiny. I've seen stuff in the press, but no, he's cool in the fact that he moved his base to Tennessee, I believe, right near Nashville.
Nice. I think so. Yeah,
And he bought one of these old recording machines where an artist, I think from the '40s, and had it reconditioned. And Neil Young recorded his newest album from that little studio, A Letter Home,
nice.
I believe, in the Neil Young album. So it's kind of getting back to the basic of basics, you know, as far as recordings go. I thought that was kind of cool, cool thing to do.
Yeah, he's great, man. There's so many good artists. Gosh, I can't I'm not a big Bonamassa fan, Joe Bonamassa, but I do respect his music. I'm still waiting for the new U2 record to come out.
What about the old guys? Do you get inspiration from people like Howlin' Wolf and,
Of course, I started out as a bar back in a blues bar before YouTube and before Facebook and everything. I used to go see all these blues bands come to the bar, and I used to go fetch them barbecue or help them set up, and then in return they would show me stuff like Buddy Guy, Ace Freeze.
Speaking of Buddy Guy, you're from that area, aren't you? You're from Rockford, right?
Correct. I was born in a small town called Rockford, Illinois, which is about an hour north of Chicago. And then
home
when my dad passed
Trick,
away,
right?
We moved to Chicago. What's that?
Home of Cheap Trick, right?
It's funny that you say that, because my mom told me that they used to, one of the members used to live down the street from us, and they used to practice in the garage.
That's pretty neat. That's like I used to live down the street from the bass player from the Hooters in the main line up in Philadelphia when I grew up.
That's cool.
That's
cool.
Funny.
Well,
yeah,
I gotta get going here. I'm at a gig and setting up and stuff. But I really do appreciate you guys working your butt off and supporting the scene and all that you guys do. I really respect that.
Well, thank you very much.
It's been a pleasure. And hey, if there's any time you ever have on a spare time on a Saturday evening, please feel free to give us a call with an update on your whereabouts, where you're playing, or what's going on, or new music picks, whatever.
Yeah, we broadcast internationally, so if you ever have anything that you need to promote, feel free to come on, and we can drop links. And anybody now with the internet and the web, you can listen and just go on and be there.
That's awesome. Thank you guys so much, man.
And in the next day or so, we'll put up the link so that we actually do a lot with downloads compared to the live listenership sometimes. You can send people back to actually listen to tonight's show and listen to you.
Oh, nice. Good. That's great. Yeah. Cool. I'll be in touch with you guys, and you guys let me know when that is.
Sure. Well, thank you very much for coming on, and look forward to seeing you at the reunion. We'll see you there.
Yes, sir. September 26th, Friday night.
Yes, sir.
Thanks, guys.
Look forward
thank
to
you,
it.
Joe.
Hey, have a good gig this evening.
Thanks, brother. You do the same.
All right, will do.
Bye.
And there you have it, folks. Our friend Joel Da Silva here, Man Talk, an exclusive interview. And right now we have another guest on the line. Yeah. Hailing from the northern climes of Canastota, New York, by way of close to Syracuse, would you please welcome in Jeff and Lou?
Hey, how are you guys?
Not too bad.
We're doing all right.
Not too bad.
I don't know if it's my reception or yours, but it's like kind of real staticky, and then it gets clean again, and then it goes back to being staticky. But
yeah,
anyways,
I'm getting the same thing on my end, and I thought it was DJ, and I don't
right know. Right now it's clean, so maybe it was your connection with your interview there. I don't know, but
is it bad again now?
No,
it's
starting to go bad again.
Okay. While he was just talking that whole time, I had myself on mute, and since I'm driving in the car, I have my headset on, but I kept muting myself and unmuting myself so that it would stay clear.
Yeah.
But if that's not it, then I don't know what it was.
Yeah.
I thought it was the Commander Tori when he called in, because we started getting it back then. Right now, it's fine.
If it's good now, then we're good, and hopefully the recording comes out clear. I wasn't hearing any static at all on my end, but I am calling in through the channel, so I wasn't listening to it on the web, so who knows.
I was listening to the interview, and, it sounded pretty cool. I want to butt in once or twice, but I couldn't. I was liking what he said about some of his inspiration, some of the stuff he was listening to. And that was pretty cool.
That was a good question on Brent's behalf. Brent knows how to do a good interview.
Well, you know what?
Well, you know.
That's my whole point. He must have taken two or three of my questions that I was ready to give them. But that's me and Brent. We're about on the same level there. So I was like, I'm going, if I get in on this earlier, I'd probably get a couple of my questions in. And he just kept asking the same shit I was going to ask.
Yeah, that was a good interview. Joe was a really good stand-up guy. I've seen them a couple of times. I feel like now that you said that band, the Revolutionaries, Brent, was it? Or the Revolvers? Revolvers, I'm sorry. Right?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's what he said.
Yeah, I want to say I remember seeing them years and years ago, and I know I've seen the Hepcat Booty Daddies a few times over the years.
Regulators played, and he wasn't, you know, it was probably prior to, I've got this compilation that I bought at the Blues Festival back in when Sound Advice was on. It was from 98 and had both Regulators on it, you know, but I didn't see his name listed. So it might have been prior to 98 that he was in the Regulators. So I've been following the guy for just under 20 years. And, you know, his itinerary, he is playing all over the place. He, you know, it's pretty pretty good. I like the fact that he actually came through. Wow, now it's bad again. You hear that?
Yeah, it is. It is bad.
Huh.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on. Now it's good.
Well, what's
funk?
That's weird, because I didn't do anything with my mute that time.
What's the name of the band he's in right now?
JB and the Howl, I believe it is.
Joel DeSilva and the Midnight Howl.
Yeah.
All right. And they've got, I mean, I tuned in. Has he got stuff like online or YouTube or any of that?
Yeah, you can go, if you get to his website, and he gave me his website, and I did not write it down, but if you look at, I think it's JD and the Midnight Howl.com.
Huh?
But if you look, you can find it if you just Google Joel, J-O-E-L, Da Silva, D-A-S-I-L-D-A. You will get his website from that, you know.
Yes, you will. You'll find a lot of information on him that way.
And then all you have to do is do, and if you want to see him and see what he does, you can go Joel Da Silva YouTube. And he's got about 3 songs, you know, that he has on YouTube with Midnight Howl. One of them I got to see last night was in Memphis, and it was pretty good tune.
So I'm going to sign off here in a minute or two, Brent, because I'm actually on my way down and to Art Walk down in Miami. It's the, what's the second Saturday of the month? Yeah, second Saturday of the month. They have the Art Walk down in Miami from, I don't know, around 6 or so to 1 or 2 in the morning. And
what goes on at Art Walk?
It's the whole art district down in Miami. There's Art Deco District, and then there's the Art Design District, and then there's Wynwood Walls. And down in Wynwood, there's all the galleries down there literally open up all their doors and have exhibits. And some of them don't change any of their stuff. It's always the same. And some of them change their stuff monthly. So it's always something different. It's pretty neat.
All right. So it's a place you can roam around, and do you have to pay to get in the galleries, or are they open?
You don't have to pay for anything. They have like 30 food trucks down there. The place is packed. You don't have to pay for anything. You walk into the gallery. Some of the galleries have wine and cheese, and it's a really nice time. It doesn't cost anything. It's at least, I don't know, 10 blocks one way and 2 to 4 blocks wide or something like that. It's a pretty nice size area.
I like wine. Wine is nice.
Wine is fine.
Wine is
better than a cockroach licking your leg, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, you missed the commandatory. The commandatory had cockroaches the size of rats sucking on him, I guess.
I'm going to leave you with this last thing. I believe I got to double check the time. It's either going to be 7:30 or 8:15 for next week. But Marcus from the Legion, I remember we did an interview with him last year or the year before, I want to say.
Yeah.
He is going to be on the show next week for sure.
Okay.
And he's another member of the Button South. And I'm trying to lock in at least one other person to do an interview for next week, and we'll be promoting the Button South all month long and up to the Button South reunion September 26th and 27th at Revolution.
That's right. That's right before I take off on vacation. Good timing, you know?
Yep. All right. Well, you gentlemen have yourselves a wonderful evening, and we'll catch up later.
Thank you, DJ. Thanks for setting up everything. Really appreciate it.
All right. You guys have a great night. I'll talk to you later. All right.
All right.
Bye-bye.
You have a good evening.
You too. Bye-bye.
And
well,
there you go. And by the way, a big thanks to Darlene, who's setting up the Button South reunion from everybody here at Van Talk. She makes all the interviews possible, and like I say, it's going to be fantastic this coming one, because you got a reunion of Joel DeSilva with his former band, the Hepcat Boo Daddies, and that will be happening on Friday, September 26th. And also that night, you got Gypsy Queen, Stranger, All-Star Band. If you can stay up in a bar till 2:30 in the morning, you got an All-Star Band, which is everybody piles on stage. I don't think I'll quite make it to 2:35. I don't think I've done that in about 20 years. How about you, Jeff?
Well, only if I take a nap at about 10 o'clock at night, and then I can stay up till 2:30.
But it's nice that the Hepcat Boo Daddy set is going to come relatively early in the evening. I can make that. And unfortunately, I won't be making Saturday evening show, because I am heading out to Atlanta on this year. I'm taking off on Sunday. We're going to do kind of a little road trip before we get to the track. We're going to go to Helen, Georgia, which is about an hour north of Road Atlanta. Helen, Georgia, for the people that don't know, is this little village about an hour north, or 2 hours north of Atlanta proper, if you're in the city. But it's in the, mountains, I guess you could call them, of Georgia, Blue Ridge. And it's like a barbarian town. It's very cool. And they have Oktoberfest there. So why would I deny myself the pleasure of going to Oktoberfest?
Yeah, well, you're gonna need that freaking German beer if you've got to drive through Atlanta to get north. Well, wait a minute. No, I see what you're saying. Because you're coming south.
No, I'm leaving on a Sunday morning, okay?
It does not matter. You're going to go through Atlanta to get someplace a little further north, and I don't give a shit what time of day.
Yeah, but see, when I come, the last 5 years or so, I have been avoiding Atlanta on my way up. We get off kind
of
like...
The track is south of Atlanta, so...
Yeah, the track is north of Atlanta, but I get off and I go east of Atlanta around this kind of loop that puts
me out of the city. Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
A lot of country towns. It's a longer cruise, but it's just about the same time probably. And if there's a traffic jam on 75, it's a lot better. But
God, you'll save so much time by just doing that. It doesn't matter, you know.
Yeah. And that's the way we've been doing it for a while. So that works pretty good. And that's the way we'll get up to Helen, probably not Sunday, because that's another hour north of Rhode Island. Why kill myself? But, you know, I'll be there for all day on Monday. And then Tuesday, of course, we'll be in line, I guess, to wait the opening of our Petit Le Mans festivities, you know, with the rest of the gang.
Does anybody really, like, steal the... Has anyone actually stole your campsite? You know what I mean?
People get in there immediately. And it changes from year to year. These aren't long-termers, but they see that site, and, you know, it's very picturesque, to say the least, as far as you with the tracks. So, yeah, there usually is somebody. Luckily, we always have Mike and Wilson to rely on, to be there, you know, a week ahead of time in line.
I know, that's insane.
Well, at Sebring, they get there actually a week, you know. It's like a week from the race, not a week from opening, but a week from the race. So, you know, they pull in the previous weekend when they go to Sebring. For Road Atlanta, I don't know. They'll probably be up there, you know, Monday or something like that. I don't know. The gates open Wednesday morning. But I got a feeling they'll be there a couple days prior. It's always a weird scene in the parking lot anyway. People will actually pitch tents on pavement. It's pretty amazing stuff.
Yeah, well, actually, my sister Susan and David, my brother-in-law Dave, they're thinking about coming up for the day of the race. They're about maybe an hour out of the track, you know. They're in the suburbs, and they want to go this year, or at least Susan does, my sister. But they wouldn't stay till the end of the race. But they're talking coming in early morning, 8, 9 o'clock, and booking about 6, you know. They just want to hang out and have some fun.
That's a full day. For the casual race fan, that's excellent. And when you live as close as they do, it would be a lot. I think you'd have a blast because it's a good time. You know the track now. I mean, it was, you know, as far as that goes. And we're going to do some cruising around. We got to do more cruising around, rain or shine this time, you know?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I told Pam, I go, pack some rain gear because I don't, you know, it doesn't matter. We're going to do a walkabout. We're going to cruise, you know?
Yeah. I definitely looking forward to the event. And, God, we're talking, less than 2 months at this point, you know? It's amazing how fast it creeps up on you.
Yep. So we may have a couple extra day trippers coming in, which will be cool. I said, look, you know, you're going to have...
When does Pam get back, anyways?
She's probably home right now, or as we speak. She's probably home now. She figured she'd be coming around, you know, sometime this evening. But... She was driving, she left Jersey Shore, or no, Long Island, actually, not Jersey. She left Long Island. I think they had to check out the house they rented around 11, but they figured they'd be out of there. You know, but that bridge, you know, crossing over, that could take forever. It's about 7-hour drive.
Wow.
So she thought she'd be back in town around 6. Unpack, go to her place, unpack, do some stuff, and then come on over here. So, you know.
Right.
I don't know. She'll be here soon, I'm sure.
That'll be good. Back again.
That's you. I've been a bachelor for a week, man. Come on.
Yeah, I'm sure you've been up and down Syracuse partying your ass off, right?
Been to the dinosaur twice, took the bike out, cruised around, went around the lake on a bike. You know, I got beer cans piled up. I had to fucking vacuum, make the bed. Oh, my God, what a pain in the ass.
Thank God she's coming back. Somebody else to clean up this mess. God. Hey, did you hear about Pete Frampton the other night in concert?
Yeah, what happened?
Okay. Pete Frampton was playing in Indiana this past Sunday, right? And fans that attended the show were given clear instructions that be no flash photography or video allowed at the event, right? So, of course, what happens? Two people who decided it was their God-given right to completely disregard all of what they've been told were right up front and center in the show. So what happens? At first, Peter Frampton is gesturing to them, saying, no, don't do that, stop. But they just didn't get the hint. He was looking for security, but there was none to be found. He turned around. Turned his back to the audience and played that way for a little while. And as he neared the end of the song, Do You Feel Like We Do, you could see the absolute look of desperation and frustration on his face. Then he stormed off the stage at his breaking point, and this guy in the Riley, with no self-control, considering he's always flipped Peter off, turns around to the rest of the audience and a bunch of... He ends the song with a huge smile on his face, bends down and says, "Hey, can I see that? Can I see the photos you've been taking?" The guy hands him the phone. Frampton stands up, spins, and flings the phone to the rafters. And the whole audience cheers.
He threw it up into the rafters?
Yeah, he just, he was trying to be nice to the guy, and the guy just wasn't getting the message. And these people had arrived late from what I heard. They had a front row seat, so it was pretty annoying on Pete Frampton's part. And then just, bam, "Hey, can I see those photos? Thanks." And the photos,
So the dude with the camera is a total idiot anyways. The fact that he's filming and then goes, "Oh, yeah, sure, here." He should have just put it on the stage. Lou Reed would have put it on the stage and stomped on it.
"Here's your phone, asshole."
Yeah, and then hand it back to him. There you go, with a $100 bill. There you go.
Oh, man. But that was a good one.
I don't know, though. Come on, this day and age, are you really going to be able to control a crowd to say, no video, no cameras? Why? I mean, you're 68 years old. What, really? I mean, do you have some kind of, I guess you have some rights to it, but it's not like bootlegging. You're just showing a little film. Or it might be on YouTube or something, or your Facebook page. I don't know. Is it that important?
Well, I think the guy would have been fine if he would have been like 10 rows back. He was in the front row,
right,
he's obviously, and plus this guy was trying to do a selfie. His girlfriend was trying to take a picture of the boyfriend with Pete Frampton in the background. I mean, this guy was really. He was going out of his way to be an ass as far as that goes.
Right.
So, yeah, you're not gonna. This is the day and age of everything with cell phones. So
oh my God, those freaking videos that I saw on the Today Show. More money than we'll ever see in our life. They were like 18 miles off the coast of Hawaii in a boat and all this and their family, and they got kids, and they did have, it must have been a big enough boat where they actually had a captain or a pilot of the boat, and it got rough, and they were taking in water. It wasn't a hurricane, it wasn't any of that, it just got rough, and they were taking in water, maybe too small of a boat or something, right? So... It capsized, and they grabbed everything they could. They had some kayaks on the boat, life jackets, and the kid on his cell phone, he had one of those phones that can, like, go underwater and still work, and he filmed the entire freaking thing, plus the rescue, the damn Coast Guard coming down with the basket and picking them up, and he's up. Going up in the air and shooting the film with his brother down in the water still and all this shit. Yeah, the entire thing was captured on a cell phone video,
It's pretty amazing.
Oh, I know. It's just, you can't get away with nothing, put it that way. You can't. I mean, come on, when we were doing shit, I wasn't there. Somebody saw you. No, I don't think they did. No, I wasn't there.
That must have been Photoshop.
Yeah.
Well, hey, it's about 8 o'clock. You want to take a quick break?
Grab a
beer, do whatever you got to do, and we'll come back?
Yeah sure, because I wanted to ask you about the interview you had I missed a little bit, but I did want to ask him a couple questions. I'm sure you got some answers anyway. But, yeah, I kind of want to know about, see if I can download some of the stuff or what he's doing, you know? Because it sounds like,
okay,
he had some good, influences, and I just wonder what he's doing now, what his music is right now, you know?
Oh, his music is great now. He'll take, I mean, he's across the board if you listen to, I mean, just his guitar work is fantastic. And I would recommend anybody that's interested to go just dial in. I mean, just Google Joel Da Silva, that's JoelDaSilva, YouTube, and you'll get, like, videos so you can see the thing going on. I mean, that's the best way I can see, you know, to get a hint of what he's all about, what he's doing these days. Yeah, but right now, let's take a break, man. It's 8 o'clock. It's Man Talk. You're on with Brent Weiler, Jeff, and Lou. And phone lines are open, 718-508-9816. Anything goes. And right now, this goes. It's going to be Elmore James as performed by Freddie King. Dust My Broom. All right?
Oh,
we'll be back
nice
with you.
Job. Good stuff. All right.
I'll go dust in the morning, I believe I'll dust my broom. I'll go dust in the morning, I believe I'll dust my broom. I'ma put the best guy on my brain, now I'm free to get my room. I don't want no woman, whatever thou commanded me. I don't want no woman, whatever thou commanded me. Gotta keep a larger woman, you should love me. I believe my God alone. I believe my God alone. Yes, I believe my baby. I take up my love.
I'm
Live at Capitol Records from November 1971, Freddie King, the Texas Cannonball himself, with the Elmore James, Dust My Broom. We're back at Man Talk. Brent Waller here, Jeff and Lou on the other end, 718-508-9816. Get you in this evening till about 9 o'clock if you're on the East Coast. And where were we before we left off? It was a very fast break.
Yeah, it was. It was. You need to find a longer song or say, we're going to do a couple of tunes.
Yeah. Well, we can do another tune later, you know? You know, I still have yet to listen to everything I bought up in New York.
Oh, my God, brother. Jesus.
Well,
Christ.
No, I mean, I got to listen to the stuff I bought at that place at the, what's the name of that record shop?
Soundgarden.
Yeah, they two locations, one in Syracuse and one I think in Maryland somewhere, right?
Yeah, they're online. They're locally owned. I mean, they've got if they don't have it, they can get it for you, or the stuff that I mean, they'll even let you know. It's out of print, man. We can't get it. You know, I mean, you're gonna have to find it, you know, through some other venue. You know.
The nice thing about this record shop, they got all price ranges and all styles available, whether you're into CD or vinyl or collectible or used. It's all there, which is very nice. And, you know, record guys like me and Jeff could spend hours in there, but usually we're with our wives, which makes it kind of like rush. Wife and girlfriend, man.
Yeah, they'll go shop for scented candles, and we'll meet you at the bar in about 2 hours, okay?
Yeah, put me, I mean, I'm not a shopper until it comes to music, you know? I could care less about shopping, but if I get me in a record store and I don't want to leave.
Especially if it's one that's just, you know, you could just go through crap forever. And then even the CDs, I mean, yeah, I like my vinyl. And I'm starting to build my collection back up because I lost mine when I went to Alaska. But, you know, so you're building stuff up with the vinyl. But, yeah, just the CDs, I mean, you know, it doesn't matter. Your blues or a particular artist or a genre or whatever, it doesn't really matter. And then they got racks that you get, you know, 3 for $10, two for five, if they're UCDs, you know, I mean, it's just, it's a good store, you know, and,
it's a fantastic store.
I mean, I
store.
Like it. Kind of rules are all over the place, you know, but
it's
a nice one up in Syracuse.
The nice thing about that store is you got, and plus, not only do you have a selection up there of, you know, CDs or music in general, DVDs as well. But you have a knowledgeable staff for the most part. Those guys were on top of it all. As far as, you know, if you try to ask somebody in Walmart or Best Buy about something, they have no clue. These guys were
good. No, because they got the computer, too, that says everything they got in stock. And these guys know where to find it. So you can, if you've been searching and then you get something in your head that goes, oh, Dwayne Jarvis, you know. And you walk up and you go,
right.
You got Dwayne Jarvis? Either if they don't know for right off the top of their head, they go on the computer and they go, no, but I'll double check. And they'll walk to an area they know it would be in. And they go, no, we don't have it, you know, something like that. So even if they're not sure, the artist or whatever, their whole computer system or whatever, their inventory, they can look it up in a minute and go, yeah, we got two copies, and then go find it for you if they want, you know.
Wow, that's nice. That's nice. It's been a great section in Syracuse. The only other record store that's on par with that, there's one in Atlanta I really like, and that is Wax and Facts, That's a very much smaller store, but it's new vinyl and used vinyl primarily. They do have a CD.
Atlanta.
Yeah. And speaking of Atlanta, joining us from that fair state, would you please welcome in our friend Jason Wood. Jason,
how you guys doing tonight? How you doing out there in the Man Talk Nation?
How are you doing, Jason? Good to hear
I'm
your voice.
I'm doing okay. I'm looking, just counting the days down until we're up there at Red Atlanta giving everybody big hugs. You
all right.
I mean?
Yeah, it is.
It's funny, we were talking about beer the last time, right?
Yeah.
I got a guy, he's in the restaurant. Sorry, it's storming here really heavily, duly. I'm on my patio smoking a cigarette because I don't smoke in my house, or at least cigarettes anyway. But anyhow, he's going to give me a mini keg, or it's actually like a, I don't know, it's a little bigger than that, I think. But he's going to give me a great price on it, and I'm going to bring it up there. And it's Atlanta Brewing Company that makes it.
Atlanta Brewing Company?
Mm-hmm.
What's the name of the brand? What's the name of the beer itself?
The beer?
Yeah.
Is, 420.
420?
420.
420.
Called Atlanta Beer. That's what it is.
Yeah. It is really, really good.
420.
That
very
or
good.
You know what, I maybe even Blue Moon, but I don't think that's made in Georgia. But if I can get them to get me a deal on that, I'll bring a keg of that. That'll be so much easier to hide than and all I have to do is just bring up like a big garbage can, you know. It'd be so much easier to hide than a bunch of fucking cases of beer.
Yeah, you never know. You know, you get the keg in, and there you go. You're set for a while.
You're in like Flint, man. That thing, I mean, yeah, as long as you watch it and, you know, don't let the
you're talking about a quarter keg, right? Not a half keg.
It's probably about a half.
A half
you know,
keg?
We are there for a week.
That.
We are there for a week.
I haven't done that since I lived in New York.
Well, it may be a quarter keg, but I think it's a half that he was talking about, and it's going to cost me about probably $50. Big deal.
$50.
I'm getting ready
remember,
to change.
I remember a party Jeff threw one time.
That's a lot of beer.
This was in Clyde. You had just moved. It was a rental, but we took to demolishing one of the walls. And we
yeah,
were
yeah, was, he was giving
did
it to
bunch
me
of cash
and Jackie.
You
now,
did,
giving,
you know,
he was giving. He was giving us.
Well,
he might
tell
us the
story.
What?
Yeah, Jeff,
no, I
tell
said,
us
somebody
story.
Just tell the damn story.
Yeah, no, he was giving us. We had a rental. It had no plumbing, no water, nothing. But he said, you show me $100 worth of receipts that you have put into this home. It wasn't an apartment. It was a house. and, you know, that's your rent. And
right.
We're going to fix it up. So, but he had piping, but there was still no plumbing. We were taking showers underneath he had a well and a hand pump. And in the morning, we were washing our hair and all that.
Fabulous.
But one night, One weekend, we were going to have a party, and we were going to gut the walls and put in insulation. So we decided to have a party,
right?
And everybody bring a sledgehammer and a crowbar.
Right.
Hey, guys, I'm going to flash over. I'll flash over. I'll be right back, okay?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah,
that was,
I remember
that was
that
probably
party.
Not the best strategy going, was it?
No. Well, it sounded good at the time.
It did. It sounded real good. We completely annihilated a wall in no time at all, I might add.
Oh,
everybody
yeah,
wants
man.
To patch this wall in. And well, we even went further than the, as I recall, we went further than we were supposed to, right?
Yeah. A couple people put the sledgehammer, like, not only to the wall that we're taking down, but the wall behind that, which meant my bedroom wall is smashed, too.
Yeah, we were a pretty exuberant bunch back in the day. And I remember that party. You had a keg, and the next day, somebody actually popped the bung out of that keg to get the last beer.
The cork on the side of the keg. Yeah. there's beer in there. I know there is. God damn it. I'm getting it.
I'm getting that. The carnage was amazing. Nobody got hurt, but holy shit, that place, that was tore up.
Yeah, Rick Gervino brought his dog, and the guy had a barn behind our house, and he had chickens. And Rick Gervino's dog, Odie, or whatever the hell he called that thing, all of a sudden walked in the middle of the party, and he had a chicken in his fucking mouth. And I'm going, oh, no. And
right.
He killed every freaking chicken in the barn.
Oh, no. That was on your property that happened?
Yeah, the guy had chickens in that barn way back behind the house. And Rick Gervino's dog found them and just, like, killed them like a weasel. It wasn't like he was eating them. He killed everyone, and he walked up to the party with a chicken in his mouth. That's the only way we knew, because it was so far back. And so,
hey,
the landlord,
you guys
you know,
think the party's up here? The party's back there, man.
Yeah, really. They're serving wings back there, man. That's good stuff.
Oh, my God.
And, all I had to tell, we just got the chicken out of my yard, and then, when he goes, what the hell, but, the landlord came around, I go, I don't know, what do you want me to say? I don't know. It must have been a weasel or something, or a fox. I don't know what the hell happened to your chicken. How do I know?
That was
a good party, though, because then that was around 4th of July, and we went down to Clyde for the fireworks.
Really? Was it that weekend? It was the 4th of July?
Well, it might have not been. You're right. It might have not been that weekend. It was just that when we were in that house, we were close to the, the Clyde fireworks, and they were the best around. So, we'd always come out to that. Yeah, that was a good one.
Do they still do that there?
I couldn't tell you. I'm way out in Syracuse now. I wouldn't know. I'm sure Clyde still does their fireworks.
You're not going to go to Clyde to see some fireworks.
No, hell no. From my front porch, Sylvan Beach is like about, 5 miles away, and they do them at Sylvan Beach, so I can see them in the air up here, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's, all I do is go out to the front yard, I lean over the fence, and I can see them going off from the beach, We're about a mile and a half or so from the beach, so I can see them, the ones that go off high enough, and that's about all I want to do, because it's crazy if you go down to the beach. You're screwed with bridges and traffic and drunk people,
Oh, yeah, the last time I went, about 3 years ago, I went down to Sylvan Beach when I moved up this way, and I went down there, right? And I took the motorcycle, and I cruised down. I, parked at a bar and hung out and right there on the beach, and it's a shoreline. It's a lake. It's not the ocean.
And
oh, yeah, great. Oh, that's fun. Now let's get the hell out of here. Just like you said, it's one road going into Sylvan Beach and one road coming out, and it's a bridge. And it must have taken me 3 hours to go 2 miles. And I'm going, my motorcycle was overheating, and I'm like, no, I ain't doing this again. That was just stupid, Yeah, it ain't no fun that way. So I just, If anything, I'll drive down the road a little piece where there's an open spot of land, just some cornfields, and that no big trees, and I can see everything that everybody else is seeing, you know, but it's 3 miles away, so I'm fine, you know.
Yeah, I'm good with that, too. Same with an air show. We do an air show down here. It used to be annually, and but it was always a zoo, you know. And I got to go to work right on the beach, so it's not bad when I'm going to work, but, boy, getting out of work is a, you know, real pain sometimes.
Right.
Yeah, that's the price we pay for having fun, right?
Hey, you know what I wanted to ask? What I wanted to ask your guests there, because you were kind of giving me a heads up on a type of music. You know, he's kind of hard to necessarily peg because he does a lot of different stuff. Or over the years, he's done different things.
Yeah, yeah.
But I mean, I wonder if he had ever heard. I wanted to ask him if he'd ever heard of an artist called Albert Lee, because he's good.
He's fantastic, and not many people know about him.
Yeah, but
he was in the band called Head, Hands, and Feet. I got one of their albums.
I think
somewhere.
So.
Yeah.
And I wonder if he had heard of him, but I wasn't going to, you know, talk about other bands. But, you know, I want to tell anybody that's listening, I just picked up Common Ground. Common Ground is the name of the CD, but it's the Elvin brothers. Dave and Phil Elvin, the Blasters.
Right. Is that the tribute to Big Bill Brunzi?
Yes, yes. It is It is excellent. Excellent album. Now, remember when we were shopping at the Soundgarden when you were up here, I picked up Dave Alvin's double album, and
right.
I love that album. I mean, that vinyl is freaking it's awesome, but it's like a Mark Knopfler type of guitar work. It's nothing even. You wouldn't even recognize him as David Alvin. Are the Blasters, you know? I mean, it's not even close. But he's doing more like a George Jones, Merle Haggard, Johnny Cash, just some old type country, just really good shit. You know what I mean? But then the one with Common Ground with his brother. You there?
Yeah, I'm here. That was Jason on the other line. He had, phone call came in. Go ahead.
Oh, well, I just mean that Common Ground, if anybody just wants to hear some good, and it's not, it's Big Bill Brunzi, all of his tunes. Not all of his tunes, obviously, but what
right.
they pick to play, and, oh, my God. And there's some stuff on there that I didn't realize that Brunzi wrote and played. I didn't know it was his stuff.
The only thing I remember that Bill Brunzi did was Bass's second album, Long Player, the one with Rod Stewart and Ron Wood, and that lineup.
Right.
Yeah, they did Feel So Good, a live version of that.
Right, and that Brunzi, right.
That was my only, Big Bill Brunzi, recollection as far as that goes.
Right, but who knew that would have been him unless you're reading liner notes and all that. But they
right.
do that. They do that on this album. But they do it more like, obviously not like the Faces, but they've got the harmonica and the Tennessee steel guitar, and they just do it. They do it differently. You know what I mean?
Right. Right. Well, yeah. One guy that Phil the one that's been putting out albums all along, and Dave is just getting back, or something, or was it the other way around?
I think it's more like Dave Alvin has been doing it, and Phil's coming back into the fold. You know?
Okay. Okay. That's
yeah,
very
because
cool.
I mean, Yeah, because I got the double album from Dave, and Phil's not on it. And now this one, you know. But
right.
I feel so good. I feel, you know, I feel like balling the Jack. You know,
Jack,
I feel so good.
Yeah,
that's
a great song.
Yep, they're doing, they do that one on here. Southern Flood Blues, which is great. Truckin' Little Woman, that's a great tune. And Saturday Night Rub, that's a good tune.
Saturday Night
been
Rub,
there.
Hear it, man.
Yeah, been there, done that, you know. But, no, it's a great one. So if anybody wants to just walking around a, the record shop and doesn't know what they want, if you come around, come around and see our Common Ground by Dave Alvin and Phil Alvin, I think you'd be pleasantly surprised. It's a great, great album, great CD.
Excellent. Yeah, I've heard nothing but good news about those guys. And, yeah, I have yet, you know, I don't know what channel I got to listen to it on Sirius. I got the satellite, and I have yet to hear anything. But I'm probably not tuning into the right channel. I don't know where they'd be featured on, you know?
Well, I don't know either. And I doubt, you know, when you get that, it's still getting a little weird. I mean, you can do that, and you're going to get some good stuff. But if you listen to it long enough, they still repeat. You know what I mean?
They do repeat, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's not FM classic rock and roll or whatever. You can go blues,
thank
you
God.
Go rockabilly, you can do whatever, but they will still kind of repeat, you know, the same shit after a while. You start to hear the same songs on it. I mean, where
yeah.
I got turned on to this was an interview with Terry Gross on, you know, public radio or whatever. Yeah, NPR. And I got turned on to it. She was interviewing both of them over about this CD, about this new album. So that's
really?
Where I
that
got turned on. And she was doing it. They were doing it in the studio, some of the tunes, just acoustically and stuff, and just interviewing them about their childhood and all that crap. So I went and found it. And, you know, it's well worth it. Great album. But, you know, I don't think it's
going
to be
yeah. You know? Yeah. Hey, you know what weekend it is?
What?
2 years ago to the date, your girlfriend went to her first race at Watkins Glen.
Oh, it's all downhill since then, I'll tell you what.
Yeah, once you get them hooked, they'll never leave, you know?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah. First one's free, baby. After that, you got to pay.
Well, for anybody that's in on it, NASCAR fans out there, this weekend they're in Watkins Glen, which is a road course up in upstate New York. And it turns out that Jeff Gordon, he's on a roll lately.
He is.
He set the pole for the Cheez-It 355 at the Glen, edging road racing ace Marcos Ambrose and Jimmy Johnson in the second and final round of knockout qualifying. It was.
Oh, he's got the pole. He's got the pole.
Yeah, Gordon. Gordon's got the pole.
Actually, Gordon really likes the Glen. He does well there.
That was his third pole at the Glen. He's had 75
yeah.
altogether. But Gordon has won there 4 times, so he's familiar with the course.
Yeah, he likes the Glen.
Remember
when Pam went there for the first time? We just went up for the day to meet you guys. And,
right.
You know, she'd
as a matter of fact,
it.
You were almost ready to leave. Remember I was taking
yeah.
that boat tour and I didn't have my cell phone with me?
Yeah. We couldn't find your ass, and then we got a hold of you. But we were getting kicked out because we were parked in the grass outside the fence, and they're going, are you coming or going because you can't park here? hold off. We're waiting for a phone call.
Good move on your part.
But Pam, remember Pam picked, you know, probably the only name she knew in NASCAR was Jeff Gordon, you know? And then she's walking around, she sees all these gross Jeff Gordon cardboard cutouts of him sucking dick or doing whatever, you know. It's, you know,
oh, that's
gay
right.
Boy. And,
yeah, that was at Sebring.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, somebody put a kielbasa in his huge life-size cutout of Jeff Gordon. Somebody put a kielbasa in his mouth.
But, yeah, at the end of the race, whatever. I don't even know. He didn't win that year, but. But then, remember we saw the, DuPont or whoever he was driving for back then, whatever it is, whatever his colors are. But
right.
He got the Jeff Gordon shot glasses. So, yeah, I'm ashamed to say they're in my cupboard. I have Jeff Gordon shot glasses in my cupboard.
Yeah, you had all your bases covered there.
Yeah.
Yeah, the last time he got the pole, though, it's been quite a while for him. It was 11 years ago. So,
really?
And his son had a birthday today. So that was kind of nice. Gordon on the pole, and then the top after Johnson, you got Marcus Ambrose second, Jimmy Johnson third, Kevin Harvick, Kurt Busch, A.J. Allmendinger, and then you get Dale Earnhardt Jr., Matt Kenseth.
Well, you know, I was going to go ahead, finish up.
Brad Keselowski and Newman.
Who?
Brian Newman.
Oh, Newman. Got it. Newman.
Oh, and there you go.
Well, Earnhardt. Earnhardt's on a freaking roll, you know. He's won three this year.
Yeah.
He won Pocono, and he's on a big roll. He's all sorts of happy. He's got three wins this year.
Yeah, it's nice to see these veterans getting there too. You know, it's not an easy field anymore with these guys. It seems like all the young guys come up and the old guys retire, and it's like, wow. You know, Junior went through a long, dry spell as far as – and same with Gordon when you think about it. These guys were brilliant early in their careers, but then they kind of – especially Gordon, you know. He was – you know, how many championships did he win? You know, and then you fall on lean time. That's got to be hard, you know.
Yeah, well, he won the Brickyard. And that's fourth win at the Brickyard?
Yeah, he just won at the Brickyard. He's been doing great. He's on a roll this year.
Yeah. Him and Earnhardt Jr. are freaking tearing it up.
And, you know, we're not huge NASCAR fans, me and Jeff, but let me tell you, Watkins Glen is a good time. If you just go for the day, you don't need to camp there. If you've never seen racing and you want to see something good and you're in upstate New York in August, that's the place to go. We had a good time that day.
Because it's not oval. Anybody listening, it's not oval track. I mean, you know, if you go up for the day, forget buying a grandstand ticket because they're out. It's full. It's packed. There's, you know, over 100,000 plus. But it's a road course. So you just walk, and you walk to the back straight, and then you might walk over around the 90, and then you might walk down here, and you walk over there. And you can see all sorts of action, you know, without necessarily paying. I think race day is like $60, you know.
Right.
But
really?
You could be there, you know, you're there all day, you know.
And the beautiful thing about Watkins Glen, for the people that don't know out there, you are not trapped in a grandstand. You can actually walk around the track and see the cars in action on a road course. I mean, nothing wrong with the grandstand, but if it's a hot day, and you know, it's really tough. I don't like grandstands, you know, to tell you the truth, for too much length of time. You know, I'm about good for a half hour most in a grandstand, and then I get fidgety, you know.
Yeah.
And then I just want to walk around because that's my
on
no,
race
road,
track.
Yeah, I agree. Road courses are just, you could cruise around. I mean, that year that Pam came up with me, or maybe it was, I don't know, following year or whatever, but we walked, and then all of a sudden, we sat underneath a tree and cracked open a bottle of wine and sat there for a minute and then moved on to some other part of the track and watched for a little while. And, you know, you just lean up against the fence and watch them, you know. I mean, yeah, you're not sitting and, you know, not that there's anything wrong if you want to pay that and you want to sit for 2.5 hours in a freaking bleacher, well, that's fine. But, you know, it's not a road course. So you're not sitting and watching them go around in circles. You know, they're shifting.
Yeah, I don't want to downplay, you know. I mean, I went to Bristol once for a Busch car race. And back in the days, now it's known as Nationwide. It's the, you know, sport race for NASCAR. And and it was really cool, don't get me wrong, because you had like a half a mile track, and the sound decibel level was deafening. People were selling earplugs outside the track, and I'm going, I've been to a few racetracks. Why do I need this? Especially Canada. Formula One comes to mind where it's really loud.
Oh, that's holy where you shit. Need some earplugs.
It's like being in a bowl at Bristol. You know, you're in this little bowl of a half-mile track, and it is loud. It is very loud. But it was a lot of fun. We had a good time.
No, I just like the road courses because you can walk around. You know, Mossport and when we're up at Elkhart Lake and you can, you know, you see different parts of everything, you know, and it's not sitting there watching them go around in circles. And not that, okay, that could be exciting, I guess, you know, but I like to be able to, I don't know, walk, you know, and go see different parts of the track where there are different speeds and shifting and passing and stuff like that, you know, where you can be under a tree and watch or go over to a back straight and be out in the sunshine. I mean, I don't know. It's just different. Road courses are different.
Yeah, yeah. I think you and me agree on that. It's for us, it's a lot more fun at a road course than it is at an oval. And it'll always be that way for me. I got nothing against ovals, folks. You know, I've been to Indy.
Yeah, right.
It's crazy.
I don't need any bad emails. I'm just saying.
Just for me. Just my personal opinion.
Yeah.
Oh, did you hear about this one? Get this, Jeff. Weird Al Yankovic. There's an online. There's an online petition to have Weird Al Yankovic perform the headline show at halftime of the Super Bowl coming up this year. This guy has 65. there's a petition to get Weird Al on at the halftime show for this year's Super Bowl. There are more than 65,000 signatures, and the man who started the petition wrote that Yankovic's performance would remain true to the standards and quality of this prestigious event.
Oh my God! You know he's got to be close to like being in the same genre at his age right now as Tiny Tim. You may as well throw Tiny Tim in there.
You know what? Weird Al got his first number one record a few weeks ago on Billboard. He was
Get
the
out.
Number
What's
one
he still
artist.
Doing?
He still he came out with a new album and huge interest, and it went to the
really?
Top of the chart. Yeah,
I'm sorry,
yeah,
I don't know that.
I don't know what. Huh?
I must have missed that one. I'm sorry. Usually I keep up on that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it is one of those things that you see when you. When you have Yahoo as your homepage.
Well, I wonder what kind of satire he would sing at the Super Bowl, though. That would be interesting, I got to admit, probably. That might be pretty good.
I mean, I would go for Weird Al over a lot of, you know, a lot of music I hear today.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's true. You know, keep it light. Have some fun, maybe. You know, I don't know. But it's funny, though, the Super Bowl, they always try to grab, you know, every genre, you know. Like, what was the year when they did, Aerosmith with, I don't know, let's just say Aerosmith with Beyonce or Aerosmith with, you know, they try to grab every genre of music.
Oh, we got Jason back on.
Hey, what's up, Jason?
Yes, I had plenty of conversation in there in that last bit of converse. But it's okay, don't worry about it. I'll let you slide this time. Anyway.
Anyway, you
were
here
talking. I am, the one that you love.
We love you. We love you, man.
Okay, so here I am, the one that you love. So continue,
right.
Mr. Van Bueller.
Yeah, what's up, buddy?
So anyway, Jeff, we were going through a story. We'll get to you in a second, Jason.
Yeah.
Oh, no, all I'm saying is that the Super Bowl always tries to throw in, like, you know, how many genres or try to attract how many people to that show. You know, they'll do ZZ Top or Aerosmith or whatever, and then they throw in, you know, Jay-Z or Beyonce or whatever to try to, you know, just more, you know, more people to watch.
Current.
You know what I mean?
More contemporary.
Yeah, right. I mean, I can't remember the one that I just couldn't believe they did. I think it was a ZZ Top one where ZZ Top came in, but then they had, who was that? Oh, God, now he's an actor, too. He was, I can't think of his name. But, you know.
Brain fart.
Who's that?
Brain fart.
Yeah, exactly.
Brain fart.
Only because I don't care. That's not really a brain fart. I just don't care.
Yeah, really. It's a different thing. If, you know, if it was important, like music or something, you'd really be straining, but this is nothing.
Yeah. But, you know, the hookup, it was like that country music, CMT. It was kind of a good show for a while when they did that Crossroads, and they would put together two different bands that are different, like they did ZZ Top and Brooks and Dunn, and they would do, they each do each other's songs, and then they play together on each other's tunes, and that wasn't a bad show for a while, but then they got really weird. I mean,
Crossroads. Crossroads, yeah.
Yeah.
Crossroads.
But, you know, then they hooked up, like, Cheap Trick with I don't know, you know, give me a country dude. I don't know his name, but...
Oh, really?
They were putting two different types of music together, but it actually... Initially, it was pretty good. I mean, the one I watched, and they actually started touring, I wouldn't say together, but at different venues, they were playing together. And it was ZZ Top and Brooks and Dunn. And
wow. It
really wasn't that bad. I mean, they did Boot Scoop Boogie, but ZZ Top was playing it the way they might play it, you know, with this really heavy Texas boogie beat. And just going nuts on it. And then Brooks and Dunn are singing and shit. Oh, it was pretty good. But then they just started doing stupid stuff. Their Cheap Trick hooked up with, you know, Alan Jackson or something. And I'm going, no, that ain't working. But, you know, for a while it was a pretty good show. Crossroads. One bad.
All right. I have never seen that.
No, it was good.
Eric Clapton's Crossroads I saw. but I didn't see that.
Well, that's a little different.
Speaking of Eric Clapton, he's going to be on Johnny Winter's upcoming posthumous release. What's the name of that album, Jeff? It's coming up. It's going to be released in September, right?
I think it's Looking Back or Coming. What the hell is it? Something. Ah, Jesus.
And it's got, I mean, Eric Clapton, Mark Knopfler.
Gibbons and ZZ Top.
Yeah, Billy Gibbons, Joe Perry.
Brian Setzer's on it.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to the concert next Friday night, and I will give you a full report next Saturday on the show, which will go on with Edgar Winter and the guy from Rare Earth and the guy from Savoy Brown, Kim Simmons, and also Vanilla Fudge.
Yeah,
so,
you're a dick. You know, I'm pissed off about that one.
Hey, you know, I wanted to see Johnny Winter, to tell you the truth. Now it's a tribute to Johnny Winter. You know, so
yeah,
all these guys.
So, I mean, I hate to say it, you know, because you know it'd be a great show with Johnny and his brother. But
yeah.
I'll bet they tweaked this show, and it's going to be better than. You know, better than maybe it would have been. You know what I mean?
It's going to be good. You know, there's going to be a huge amount of interest because that was a sudden death and nobody expected it. And, you know, Johnny Winter is revered by a whole generation of musicians, you know? So,
yeah, I was just reading something. I was listening to Pandora at work, and I put on Pandora, and I had Muddy Waters on today. So I was listening, and then you can click like their bio and see, you know, what they did, where they're born, you know, all their shit, right? And in like 1960 something, Muddy Waters and a couple other musicians left their recording studio they were with and sued them because they were holding back royalties and shit. So Muddy Waters had no contract and nobody was picking him up. And Johnny Winter picked him up, got him with Blue Sky Records, which was in an offshoot of RCA, who
right.
Johnny was playing for, and hooked him up and got him a contract with them and produced his first album, not his first album, but his first album was this record company, and that's where he recorded. That's when he recorded "Mannish Boy."
Oh,
and,
Hard Again. That was the Johnny Winter Muddy Waters' first album, and he did three with Muddy, right?
Yep, and that's where it all started. And then when Levon Helm asked him to come and join him with The Last Waltz, Scorsese's film of the band, The Last Waltz, Levon Helm asked him to come, and they played "Mannish Boy" on that movie and that CD, and he got, you know, revised and revisited, and everybody started knowing him, and then he played with the Stones, and then he played with, you know, all these people. And, so Johnny Winter got him back into the recording studio. And I thought that was pretty cool when I read that.
That is cool. Yeah. Johnny was, you know, one of a kind. And Edgar, you know, he looks up to him. He was like, it was like Johnny was his bigger brother, and that's where he got his inspiration from. And Edgar carved out his own career. It was great. I mean, you know, when you think about it, two guys from Texas playing in, you know, bar bands, and then, boom, hit it big. Johnny Winter, there's a documentary out that I want to see about Johnny Winter, and I don't know if you're into it. Down and Dirty or something like that. It's pretty cool. I saw an excerpt on YouTube, and it looks very
good. Oh,
really?
I mean, is it going to be on TV, or what is it?
No. Let me see if I can find it for you. Hold on a second. Let me look it up. And let's see if I can find it. Oops. Wait a minute. Nobody's waiting. Oh, yeah. Jason's back on with us. Hey, Jason, welcome back in, man. We lost you there for a second.
Yeah, no, I know. I told you I had an important phone call to take.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I know you guys are real important, but I've got other shit in the works, too.
I like that.
Got,
the man who tells it like it is.
I don't think I have to explain that to you.
No, not at all, man. I understand completely.
But I tried to merge the calls, but I said, no, I better not do that.
Yeah.
So anyway, I could be bringing the Blue Moon. Y'all were talking about something, so continue.
Hey, Jason.
So Jeff, what was I looking for? Johnny Winter what?
Johnny Winter, some kind of a tribute thing now that he's passed, I think. I don't know what you were, I forgot the name of it.
Oh.
But you were looking for something, and you said it was some kind of documentary or something.
Here we go. Okay, documentary, that's what I want to do. Okay, and I'll tell you the name of it.
And I got a request for the last song for the night.
All right, you got it.
This is the last song. This is the last song of the night, actually.
Yeah, okay, it's called Down and Dirty, okay? Directed by Bob Oliver. It came out 2014, so it's brand new. Came out March 12th, and feature-length documentary on the life and career of blues legend Johnny Winter.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah. With stars Johnny Winter, James Cotton, Jim Dandy. Remember Jim Dandy?
Yeah. Jim Dandy.
Yeah,
I'm
not right.
Jesus Christ. I remember Jeff busting a record by Black Oak Arkansas.
Go Jim Dandy. Go Jim Dandy.
Yeah. Where the fuck did this come from? Must got stuck between the other 20 albums I stole, and I didn't realize it.
Okay. Listen to the cast. I mean, what a cast in this documentary. You got James Cotton, huge harmonica blues guy, Jim Dandy, Clive Davis, who used to run in Columbia, you know, and then he started Arista Records, Billy Gibbons,
right,
guitar for ZZ Top, Warren Haynes, Government Mule, Joe Perry from Aerosmith, Tommy Shannon, who used to be in the Cowsills, and it was also in Johnny Winter and that was the band with Rick Derringer in it.
Government Mule's a Georgia band.
Susan Tedeschi, Derek Trucks, and, of course, his brother Edgar Winter appears in it.
Georgia people?
Yeah, and Jeff, you'll know this guy. Paul Nelson is the executive producer. He's the guy that was guitarist in Johnny Winter's band that you saw, right?
Yeah, right. No shit.
Yeah.
So this is brand new. This is brand new.
Oh, yeah.
It almost... You know, when you
this
think about it, because
2014.
Spanking.
He was doing the book tour, which was of the same title, and now he's got, and this is coming out, and then he's doing a tour with his brother, or was, and, you know, it almost seems like he kind of knew, it's getting close. I want to get my life back together, I want to put some shit together, and have some fun.
Make it happen.
Yeah, because... You know, I mean, think about it. I mean, he did his book tour, and that's when we heard he was doing the book tour, and we're going to do his birthday at the Glen. We Facebooked him and told him, Johnny, we have a conflict of interest here. We have a conflict you better get rid of this book tour because you have to be at the Glen at a certain campsite. And he didn't get back to it. But nonetheless, you know.
Yeah, I know. I'm sure he gets a million of those a day.
Yeah, we posted
well, at
it
least
anyway.
1,000.
And, you know, and then he's doing the documentary and the books and touring with his brother. You know, he might have figured, you know, I better get my shit and try to put something together, you know. I don't know. But it seems like everything in the last year of his life got done before he, you know, passed away, you know?
Right.
Yeah,
he wasn't quite ready. He wasn't quite ready. He needed another 6 months.
I know. Concert-wise, yes, but he was doing a world tour.
Well, you got to see him, so he looked fine. He was in great form.
I saw him in 96. He's frail,
right? But
no,
He christened the Georgia Dome.
Well, I mean, he didn't look fine. I mean, as in, he played like
fine.
A fucking madman, but... You know, he walked out humpbacked, people helping him. He couldn't
see his guitar,
he was pretty much blind at that point. They're handing him his guitar and putting the strap on and hooking him up.
Sympathy thing?
But, I mean, if you look at my Facebook page, you see the picture. You know, he's a hard 70 years old. That man... Keith looks nasty,
I'm on Facebook now. I've finally done it.
You can watch the Johnny Winter trailer. If you look up YouTube, you can watch Johnny Winter and see the trailer for that movie. It's pretty funny. It's pretty humorous. He's pretty candid about it, pretty much everything, and I saw it, and well worth watching. It's almost the end of the night. Jason, what song did you want anyway? I got to go out and search.
I agree with him. I think you should do a Johnny Winter.
I would love to do a Johnny Winter, but
we'll do something else another time.
The only problem is I have him on vinyl. An alternate.
How about Georgia Florida Line?
Can't do that, man. We got 3 minutes.
I got one for you, Brent.
Why can't you do that?
What's that?
Georgia Florida Line.
I got one for you.
Go ahead.
Right,
this is how we roll.
Off of last week we did something off the Basement Tapes,
yeah.
But I was listening to something, and if you've got that, the Don't Tell Henry.
By who?
Off the Basement Tapes, and it's the only, one of only a couple of tunes on the entire Basement Tapes that have Levon Helm, because... He wasn't there. He went
back
to...
Let me look for it.
Let
me go search.
He went back to...
Come on, man. You can do this. Georgia Florida Line is called This Is How We Roll. It's really, really there.
All right. Well, if Frank can pull that up, that'll work.
It don't matter. Yeah. Play what you want to play. It don't matter to me. I just it's good to talk to you cats. It's good to be on the air with you guys.
If you can't, on the Basement Tapes, it's this two, number nine. No, number eight.
That's if
you can't pull up what Jason's looking for. But that was something I heard the other night.
Oh,
after
I don't care. He asked me what I wanted, and I said, this is what. He goes, I can't do it. And I said,
if you ain't got it, if you haven't have it on CD or can't pull it up, then, you know.
Oh, it'll pull up. It'll pull up immediately because it's huge.
It's huge?
Okay.
Yeah, it is. It's very popular.
You know what?
You found it, didn't you?
I found it, but we're out of time.
Oh, fucker.
It's 8:59, my
friend.
Well,
you know, shit happens.
It's exactly 9 o'clock. That's just wrong.
Well, hey, it's been a lot of fun. Thanks, Jeff. Thanks, Jason. Enjoy the evening. Thank
enjoy. We'll see you back next God Saturday. I'll give you the wrap-up from the Rock and Blues Fest, okay?
God bless, and everybody have a safe week.
All right.
All right, Jason. Take it easy. We'll see you in a month or so.
All right, yeah. Hey, you're going to bring a load of wood down, right?
All right.
All right. I'm going to have some beer that's going to kick your ass. You're going to love it. You're going to drink it all, too. Love you guys. Good night.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.